Good morning, everyone.
It's so good to see those who have
come to be with us this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ who are here,
it's certainly a wonderful occasion. We find ourselves again to be in the house of God, that's us, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is so good to see the many who have come. We know there are many who are traveling at this time. We want to keep them in mind as they travel to their destinations, and we pray that they'll be with us once again. And there are those who are amongst us that have traveled to this place, and we so thank you for being with us this morning, and we pray that your experience with us will be uplifting and that the Word of God will help you in some way as we travel from this place to our heavenly home, which is heaven. If you are visiting with us for the first time and you have not filled out a visitor's card, there are some visitor's cards that are right in front of you. We ask you to fill one of those out that we might be able to acknowledge you and thank you for coming and being with us this morning. So it's once again good to be here on the Lord's Day, have this opportunity to present a lesson, and hopefully as we study God's Word together, the Word of God will help us to grow as we learn from God that knowledge that He would have us to have so that we might be able to secure our home in heaven. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I trust that you do, never come to battle without the Word of God, right? Yeah, that is our sword, and we need to have it with us all the time. It is our 66 books, and we are encouraged that God has given us this word for us to study and that we might be able to learn more about Him and about what He has for us. Jeremiah chapter 20 is where we will begin our reading this morning. I'm going to go over here and turn this light on. My eyes aren't what they used to be, but I thank God I still got them. Jeremiah chapter 20. Beginning at verse number 7, we will read verse number 7 down to verse number 9, and we will build our lesson from there this morning. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning at verse number 7. And the Bible reads, O Lord, you have induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. From this text of scripture this morning, I'd like to speak on the subject, don't hold back. God's word is needed. Don't hold back because God's word is needed. As we begin to read about this prophet called Jeremiah, some would call him the weeping prophet, because Jeremiah was given an assignment by God to prophesy to the children of Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah, of the impending doom in which they were about to encounter. God had already given them many chances to repent of their sins and to come out from their idolatrous ways, but still the children of God would not do it. So along comes Jeremiah, who prophesies to them about their wicked ways and how God was going to punish them for it. He would tell them how the Babylonian kingdom was going to come and to take them into captivity. They would kill off some, they would take some into captivity, all because of the fact that they were not being obedient to God. However, we see that the people of Israel were being prophesied lies because there was many false prophets and many leaders among them that were not telling them the truth. And then when Jeremiah comes along, Jeremiah was a true prophet of God. When he comes along and begins to warn them of their sinful action and how it was going to lead them to God's punishment of them, they went about trying to silence God's word. They became scornful towards Jeremiah, even to the point that they put him in prison, in the stocks, as we read about in the first part of chapter number 20. They didn't want to hear it because it wasn't something that was pleasing to their ears. And you know, people are like that today. They don't want to hear what is good for them to save their souls. They rather hear things that are just pleasing to their ears. This is why over in the book of 2 Timothy, the chapter is 4, and looking at verse number 3 and verse number 4 and verse number 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says here, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You see, Paul began to warn us and tell Timothy to watch out for these things because the time is going to come when people are not going to want to hear sound doctrine. They will, as the scripture says, they will be according to their own desires. And anytime we begin to look out for what we want instead of what God wants, we're going to find ourselves in trouble every time. So they wanted their own desires because they have itching ears. You know, this idea of the itching ears is that they were heaped up to want to hear what they wanted to hear. They weren't trying to hear God's word, but something that will soothe them. And this is why the next part of the text says, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, the problem is that when we find things that are untrue and people want to do whatever they want to do, just like back here in Jeremiah's time, you will always find people who will agree with you and even teach you that what you're doing is all right. Always. No matter what type of sin it is, you will find someone that will take advantage of the situation and begin to teach you or to show you or try to explain to you that what you're doing is all right. And let me just say this. You know, I have some respect for people who, and I'm going to put it bluntly, who know they're going to hell and go ahead and say it. I don't know about you, but I've had people come to me, and I'm trying to teach them the word of God, and they just plainly stop me and say, listen, I know what I'm doing is wrong. And I know I'm on my way to hell. So don't worry about it. That's a sad situation, okay? But at least they know what they're doing is wrong. But the people I have the utmost irrespect for are those who know they're wrong and then try to twist God's word to make it think that they're right. Because you know, anything anybody wants to do, you'll find some guy with a turned around collar telling them it's all right to do. You want to be a homosexual? No problem. You want to live the gay lifestyle? No problem. Guess what? We'll build a church for you and tell you that it's all right. And we'll even twist some scriptures to make you feel all right about it. You want to live in adultery? That's all right, because we'll build a church for you that you can come and do that. You know, one king did that too, didn't he? Back in the early centuries. That's how the Church of England got started. Because King Henry, the Pope told him he couldn't divorce and remarry, so he said, you know what? I'll start my own church. And people still doing that today. Anything that you want to do, someone will come along and tell you it's all right. Because people are always looking at those itching ears, and they want to heap up teachers to themselves so that they continue to do what they want to do. And you know, there are some that do it out of ignorance. There are some that do it out of deceit. But there are a lot of them that do it for the money. And that's where you have to be careful. You know, back over here in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, and right around verse number one, and verse number 5, Paul again tells Timothy, he says, but I know this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, but I know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, and look at this, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. But look at this, what Paul warns about. Verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, he says, turn away. You know, like I said, you'll have some people who they dress nice, they look nice, they talk nice, and they seem to have that form of godliness because they carry the Bible just like we do, but not according to the truth. And he says, and for those, we need to learn to turn away. But look at what Paul tells Timothy over here in verse number 5 of our text, Second Timothy chapter 4. He tells him in verse number 5, he says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry. You know, Jeremiah was in that situation. Jeremiah was handling a situation where he was enduring the afflictions of the people because he went about teaching the truth. He wasn't about trying to teach them what they wanted to hear. He had to teach them what they needed to hear in order to save their souls. But I want you to look back at the text again, back to Jeremiah. Because as we look at verse number 9, we notice something. Jeremiah was coming to a self-examination of himself. He had a moment where he thought about some things. Look at verse number 9 in the first part of it. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, of God, nor speak any more in his name. Look now how Jeremiah, he sort of came to this quick conclusion because of all that he was going through. The people were not listening. They were mocking him. They had thrown him into jail. They put him in the stocks. All because he was teaching God's word. And the first part of the text, we notice that he begins to question God, because if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah had some reservations at first about what he had to go and do. But God promised him that I will be with you and don't fear. That's over in chapter number 1 of Jeremiah. But now Jeremiah seems to have some questions about what he was doing. He says, people are mocking me and they put me in jail. They're looking to do harm to me. So he comes to this quick conclusion that he's not going to speak God's word anymore and that he is not going to mention God anymore to these people. And you know, you can almost sympathize with him in his situation and what he was going through. However, it is always a sad, sad situation when children of God, who have the truth of God, the word to save souls, will not speak it. That's always a sad situation. But as with this prophet, there are those of us who have come to even this day in our lives where we fail to speak to those who need to hear the word the most. And you know, there could be many excuses that we use as to why we don't teach and go about teaching God's word and sharing it with others. You know, some people say, you know, there's just no use anymore, or wasting my time to talk about the one body, the one church, because people just don't want to hear it anymore. You know, when we talk about that, you hear stuff like, oh, you Church of Christ people think you're the only ones going to heaven. They begin to talk about us. They begin to rail against us because the word of God speaks the truth and is usually against what they already know. So therefore, we begin to have some ridicule. But for some of us, we've decided, what's the use? We're not going to talk about that anymore. We withhold God's word from those who need it most. And you know, I know sometimes when we have our families and our friends, especially this time of year, we have people coming in and visiting with us and they're around us and everything, and we hold back about talking God's word because sometimes we say, you know something, I just want to keep the peace. And we say that to ourselves. And we go about doing that, even with our coworkers, our friends at work. They don't always want to hear about God's word, and they don't always want to know about God's word. Even when opportunity comes to be able to help and to teach God's word, we don't take the opportunity to do it because we have just given up, thinking nobody wants to hear, thinking nobody's going to pay attention anyway. And I just don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to be talked about. Oh, there's that person again thumping his Bible. So what do? We almost come to the conclusion that Jeremiah did. I will not speak it anymore. I'll just sit back. I'll come to worship service. I'll worship God. God knows my heart. I have faith. And all that is good. But there are those around you who are not as blessed and privileged as you are. And it's our job to teach and save the lost. Now, some people say, oh, I want to just keep peace. Well, you know what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 34? Jesus said this. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And over in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5, he says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. You see, there is some division that God requires. He doesn't want division in the church. But there is some division that God requires because we are not to be united with sin or false doctrine. You know, this is the law of inclusion and exclusion. You know, inclusion is when we are in fellowship with those who are following the doctrine of Christ. Exclusion is when we depart ourselves from those who are not following the doctrine of Christ. Because you can't have it both ways. Jesus says he didn't come to bring peace, but division. And he came to bring a sword. And you know what a sword does? It cuts. And the Bible talks about the word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts coming and it cuts going. So when we talk about holding peace, the only thing that you are really doing is keeping back the word of God to those who need it the most. And you know, when we do hold back God's word, you know, it's very contrary to everything that the word of God teaches us. Over in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, Jesus gives a command to his disciples and those of us who are disciples this day. Notice that he says in verse number 28, beginning at verse number 18. First, he establishes something. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he gives the instruction. I've got the authority. Now listen to this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, don't stop there. We need to teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, not only do we need to teach them what to do to be saved, but we need to continue to teach them what they need to do to stay saved. Teaching them to observe all things that I have given unto you. You see, the Bible teaches that we have to be diligent about spreading the word of God. And you know why? Because the gospel is precious. And it needs to be shared with others. And you know, and it is our job. That's right. You know, in the church, there is no unemployment. All of us have a job to do. And it is our job to spread the seed or the word of the gospel into the hearts of men. There's a parable that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13. He talks about how a sower went out to sow seed. And some of you know this very well. And then later on he explains this parable. But he talks about how the sower went out to sow seed. And when he went out to sow seed, he says some fell by the wayside. And you know what happened there. The birds came and ate them up. And this is an example that Jesus would say later on of that the word of God being sold into a man's heart. But then Satan comes along and just snatches it out. And then he talks about how some fell on a stony place. It had no depth, no root. It did spring up. But when the sun came out, or the way Jesus says it, when the tough times came, it had no root and it withered away. And then there are those that fell on the thorny ground. And the Bible says it was choked up, or as Jesus would say, the cares of the world got in the way. They began to think about the things of the world than the things of God, and the word was choked out of them. But then there was that seed that fell on good ground. And the Bible says that it produced much fruit. But here's the point. Although we have only one example of the seed being productive, and we have three examples of it not being productive, the point is that the seed was sown. And that's our responsibility, is to sow the seed. And then we let God do the rest. That's why the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talked about how he planted, Apollos watered, but God did the increase? You see, it is our responsibility to sow. It is our responsibility to teach. And then God will do the rest. But not only that, it is also our responsibility to protect God's word. In the book of Jude, all the way back to the end of your Bible, just before Revelation, this disciple says in Jude, beginning at verse number 3, one chapter there, he would say, I'm hesitating because I hear Bible pages turning. He would say, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, he's writing to the Christians, and he says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. You know that word contend? It means to fight for or to defend the truth. And in particular, he talks about the faith. That is that system of doctrine that was taught and delivered to the saints. It is our responsibility to defend God's word. Why? Next verse. He says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of God, the grace of our God, into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need to defend the truth. Because there are people out there that are trying to deny the truth and to ruin the truth of what God did for us. You know, this is off the top of my head, some experiences that I had. I've dealt with a lot of people that try to turn what God did around into just a, what you might say, just an act of command. Now, understand what I'm saying? The Bible teaches in John chapter 1 that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? Therefore, we know that God, the Son, gave up his divinity in heaven to come here, put on human flesh, and to do what he did for you and I out of his love. Philippians chapter 2 talks about that. Because the Bible, he says that he thought it not robbery to be equal to God. In other words, when we equate the Son with God and we talk about the Godhead, we know that they're all one. And that the Son did what he did out of love for us, came obedient to the Father. But there are those who go around and say, well, you know that Jesus was just created. He's just an angel. Therefore, taking away the beauty of what God really did for us, because it puts it on the fact that he had to do it. He had to do it. Because the other superior being made him do it, because he was created for that. No, he didn't have to do it. He did it out of love for those whom he created. But when people try to turn around and talk about this type of stuff, they are taken away from what the real subject and the real matter of what God did for us, and that's when we need to learn to defend the truth. And it's our responsibility to do that. But not only that, we also need to cherish it as well. You see, when we show the world how much we love God and how much we love his word, it would go a long way in convincing others that what they see in us is what they want to see in themselves. But we have to cherish that word. You know, in a series of parables here, once again, back at Matthew chapter 13, you know, Jesus talked about how the kingdom of God is like this, this precious treasure. Right on verse number 44. This precious treasure that a man found in the field. And what did he do? He hid it, and then he went and bought the field. Because that's how precious it was to him. Bought the whole field. And then the second part there in verse 45 and 47, I'm over here at Matthew chapter 13, he talks about how a man went out to find a precious pearl. And then when he found it, what did he do? He went back and sold everything that he had in order to buy it. You see, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the word of God, we need to cherish it because we will give everything for it. When we cherish the word of God and the kingdom in which we belong, people will see that and some will come and want to be just like us. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 20. Because I don't want to leave us with a bad impression of Jeremiah. Because, like I said, it was a moment that Jeremiah thought what he thought. Because if we look at the text, I want you to see something. Back to Jeremiah chapter 20. In verse number 9, once again, after he says, I will not speak this anymore in his name, he says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. And he said, and I could not. You know, Jeremiah, like he said, when you have that word in you, it needs to be like that burning fire. That we want to just get it out to those who are in need of it because we know how much they need it. You know, if we don't feel a little bit sad of seeing our friends, our family, our coworkers, those around us who are lost, if we don't feel a little bit sad for their situation, knowing what the end is going to be, then something's wrong. Because it should be our desire, as it is God's desire, for everyone to come to repentance and be a part of God's wonderful kingdom. And Jeremiah understood this. But he knew that there was going to be some opposition. But still, the word of God was like a burning fire in his heart. And then verse number 10. He says, for I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. In other words, if you speak, Jeremiah, we're going to tell on you. He says, all my acquaintances watch for my stumbling. And people are going to be like that, especially with us Christians. They're going to be looking for us to stumble so they can say something. And sometimes we make it easy for them. There are some things we know we're not supposed to be doing. And we wind up sometimes falling into the trap, and you hear people say, I didn't know Christians did that. And it's always amazing to me that they know what Christians are supposed to do, but they don't do it themselves. But when they see you doing something, then they want to ridicule you and find you what they say, like the people of Jeremiah, find them in a trap. But he says, perhaps they say he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him and we will take our revenge on him. But I like this in verse number 11. He says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and they will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Jeremiah knew the matter, but he also knew that God was going to be with him. This is why we need to have that attitude as well. No matter what the situation may be, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much we are ridiculed, no matter how much people want to talk about us, no matter how hard they come against the word of God, just always remember, God is always and will always be with his people. You know, the book of Romans chapter 8 and about verse number 31, Paul reminds us of this. He says, and if God is for us, who can be against us? And in John chapter 4 and verse number 4, John says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. See, we need to be encouraged by God's word. We need to be encouraged that no matter how hard it gets or how discouraging it may be, greater is the force that is within us, that is within the world. We have that greatness, and we need to use it. Don't hold back. God's word is needed. And you know, you could be great today. Yes, you can. Because God gives us that opportunity to be able to come to obey his will and put us on the right path so that we might be able to enjoy the blessings of God and be able to always do his will. Notice that God had given us what is known as his grace. And notice that in giving his grace, he opened up the opportunity for those of us who are lost. Because as Paul writes in the book of Romans, that while we were still yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. So God gave us his grace. But that was the offer that he gave. Because see, there are five things that need to happen. God offers. Then God gives instructions on how to accept the offering of the blessing that he gives to us. Then man has his part. He must have faith. He must believe in God and what God has to say. And then there's the obedience of following through to what God commands were. And then, and only then, are the blessings given. So God gave his grace. That unmerited favor. We did nothing to deserve it, but that's out of his love for us. But then he gave us instructions on what we must do in order to receive that gift. That is, first, that we must have faith in God. We must believe him. We must have, because Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. Impossible, isn't it? Impossible, right? For us to have faith in him if we don't hear his word. So now, after we have heard his word and believe it, the Bible teaches us that we need to, what? Repent of our sins. Because you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God in your sins. You need to come out of that. You need to repent. You need to change your heart and your mind so that God can forgive you of your sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, when they asked the question, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority, for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins. And then the Bible tells us that we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because whether you confess it or not, he still is. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the Bible commands you to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. That is, to be immersed, to be buried with him in baptism, that you might come up, come in contact with the blood of Christ and come up to walk in the newness of life. And this baptism is not to put you into a specific church, because man can't put you in. God adds you in to his body. And the church that he adds you in is the church that he's built, and that is the church of Christ. So it's not just a formality that you're already saved, and now I'm going to be baptized to become a member of a certain church. No, you are being baptized because it is an act of faith in response to a command of God, and that is a burial. You show your death, the burial, and resurrection just like Jesus did. And you raise into the newness of life. I like that word, newness. It's like fresh baked bread. It's new. It tastes good. And that's how we are when we come out of that water. But then we must continue to live faithful until death. An old preacher one time, he said, the people used to all say, when I went down in the water, and I came back up, my hands felt different, my feet felt different. And he said, nah, you still got the same hands and the same feet. They just don't take things like they used to. And your feet don't take you places that they're not supposed to go. So it's a continuous walk with him, but it's a start. And you can start that today. If you have not been immersed in the water grave of baptism, if you have not accepted the gospel, you have an opportunity to do so today. And if you are here and you are a member of the Lord's body, but you know you walk a guilty distance from God, you have not been praying right, you have not been living right, you have not been doing the things that you know that are right to do, you have an opportunity to come back, because God is such a forgiving God. And he's here ready to accept you. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to the word of God, don't hold back. God's word is needed. We have a song of invitation, hymn number 272. Right? 272? If you are here and you're subject to the invitation, let us rise, come as we sing the invitation song.